more relates that when should the recitation of the Saint Talmud and the Rocha take place. So the Gemara relates two different minhagim. The Gemara relates the minhag of Eretz Yisrael, began on the seventh day of Cheshvan, and the Gemara relates the minhag of Bavel, who began 60 days after the full season started. Now, principally, in the Halacha, we have many, many machlokes of Chachmei Eretz Yisrael and Chachmei Bavel. And the established norm is that those that live in Chutz La'aretz follow Minhag Bavel, and do not follow Minhag Eretz Yisrael. That's the established norm. Now perhaps that would suggest the reason that when it comes to beginning the recitation of the Saint Talmud Lebrocha, we begin 60 days after the fall season starts, because again, since we live in Chutz La'aretz, we're patterned after the minhag of Bavel. The problem that the Rishonim have with this, the Rambam raises this problem, the Rosh raises this problem, is when do we use this principle that Eretz Yisrael followed Chachmei Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz follows Chachmei Bavel? That's when there's a machlokas which has to do with halacha. There's a halacha machlokas. And Chachmei Eretz Yisrael passed in one way, Chachmei Bavel passed in differently. So in the minhag of Chutz La'aretz is to follow Chachmei Bavel. But in this particular case, there's no real machlokas between Chachmei Eretz Yisrael and Chachmei Bavel. Merely based on the geographical location, the topography of each country, needed rain at a different time. In Eretz Yisrael is a hilly country, and therefore the rain tends to run off. It's run in a river valley, so it doesn't gather immense amounts of water there. So rain, water, irrigation is a much more significant need, and therefore the farmers of Eretz Yisrael needed it right away at the beginning of Cheshvan to have rain. Whereas in Bavel, which is a land which is lower down, which has drainage of use, some of the world's greatest rivers through Bavel. So consequently, rain was first necessary later on, which would suggest that what we ought to do is to establish what the agriculture in each country needs, and according to that, we should establish the beginning of the recitation of the Saint Talmud Lebrocha. This troubled the Rosh and the Rambam. The Rambam in the Perush of Mishnayos, the Rosh in the Tshuva. It's not a classical divide of Chachmei Bavel and Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, how we account for this halacha altogether? What makes the problem even more pronounced in contemporary times is that we have a very clear knowledge of the southern hemisphere of the world. I spent, I don't know what to call it, summer or winter, in Johannesburg. I left New York, it was the month of July, and I stayed there for 6 weeks in Johannesburg, from July and August. But in Johannesburg, it was the middle of the winter. A relatively mild winter, it's similar to Eretz Yisrael in that regard, but it was the winter time. Summer vacation in Johannesburg is at the end of the month of January. So there we certainly, there the problem becomes enormous. That in the southern hemisphere, the seasons are reversed. So, Pashtus, we ought to say that in the southern hemisphere, after Pesach, they should begin to recite the same Talmud of the Brocha. And after Sukkot, they should go back to the same Roch and get to the Masha Baruch. And the reality is that the Rosh himself indicates in the Tshuva that he had no takers for his pitch. Couldn't sell it. The Rambam wrote it in the Perush of Mishnayos, but on the Yarech HaZoko, when it recorded the Halacha, disappeared. And the theoretical plainly discussed it. that when he got down to writing the Sefer of Halacha, he disappeared. So the minhag is clearly established, and for reasons that we cannot have never really fully understood, that in Chutz La'aretz, all of Chutz La'aretz, no matter where one is, no matter what the local circumstances are, we begin 60 days after the full season. And Eretz Yisrael starts in Zayin Cheshvan. Doruch HaShulchan writes a very interesting thing. He says, "Ukeilu yotzeh basko lasis kibnei bovel," it's as if a heavenly voice has rung out declaring that we should follow the minhag bovel. We have no insight and understanding why it is. Somehow it seems that it was ordained in heaven that this is what we're supposed to do for reasons that escape us.
So the 7 years
it's the exact reverse, the mirror image of us. The mirror. The fall solstice by them is in April.
You
count, well, whatever we would.
From 60 days in Bravo.
In other words, do they say the same Bravo at the opposite?
No, they don't. That's what I'm telling
them. They say the same as us.
They say the same. All Chutzlars does exactly the same thing. The Northern Hemisphere, the Southern Hemisphere, irrespective of the local conditions. And as Aruch HaShulchan writes, when he lived in Russia, rain was necessary in the summertime, and in the winter there was absolutely no need for rain at all. Now, the United States is a very unusual country, in that we have both summer and winter wheat grow in this country. We have crops, really two different types of crops that grow in this country constantly. And therefore there's no particular time of the year, overall, in the entire season, that we don't need rain. Certain times in the year, I think we would be better off without rain for short periods. But the month of June is not a very good situation in the Midwest, in the prairie states, if it rains in June. For the same reason why, and it's a reason that we find the halachas already recorded this reason. The question, we'll come back to this, but why is it in Eretz Yisrael they begin the recitation of Masha Baruch Mer Negeshem together with us? Now they need rain. The rain, there's no reason that they have to wait to Zayin Cheshvan for the rain. So what was the reason for the 2 week delay from Chav Beis Tishrei all the way to Zayin Cheshvan? So the Mishnah says reason, one reason, and there's another reason that's which is not brought in the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah mentions the fact that the Eilei HaGolim needed time to get home. They didn't want it to pour on the Eilei HaGolim. And here they were all in transit, and those took a long time until they were able to get home. So they didn't want it to start raining until that particular time. There is a second reason, and that is that after the harvest, the crops lie in the field for a very long time. And apparently, when Sukkot came, they had not yet fully finished, didn't always fully finish gathering in the crops. And when it starts to rain right after Sukkot, the crops that were left in the field would rot. So therefore, they also wanted there to be another breathing space after Yondit. Whoever wasn't finished should be able to pull the crops in before the next agricultural cycle started, before the rains hit. And that's why in our country, if it rains in the middle of the country, in the month of June, the crops are rot. They're ready to be harvested. They don't need water. They need to dry, to ripen, and be removed from the fields. So in those weeks, it's very disruptive. And that's a halacha. This metzias, the halacha was well aware of it and has articulated it. So we really do not have any precise understanding, a precise explanation of why the Vesein Halamotav is recited in the way that it is. But the theory, even though the theory is not halacha l'maisa, but the theory keeps bouncing up to pass the many shailas which arise. We'll come back to the theory. It was the theoretical point that the Rosh and the Rambam made that it should be adjusted according to each country, according to its needs for precipitation. Even though we don't pask in that way, but we're going to see it keeps rearing its head in the halach. The Shulchan Aruch found all types of uses for that view, because the logic is so compelling that it resolved many types of situations by relying upon that view, as we'll see. Now, the first thing we need to engage in is we are well aware that the equinox takes place full solstice back in the month of September. So on September 23rd. Yeah. We're working on a system where we're assuming the kufa, the fall, is beginning this year, so let's say, for example, on October 7th. So what exactly accounts for the fact that we have a date for the beginning of fall which differs from the one which is astronomically correct, which one can find in every single calendar? Look up when the fall solstice is. They tell you on the radio that day. It's going to be today at such and such a time during the day. So there's no question when it takes place. It is a well-known scientific fact. So what do we have a calculation which is a whole bunch of days off? And principally the reason for this is that classically the halacha made a certain assumption which the non-Jewish world also did. And that is, the assumption was that the year was 365 days plus one quarter of a day. That was the assumption which was made. Now, in the world of halacha, it is not such a threatening thing to make such an assumption. Because in the world of halacha, we are interested in being able to function. We are not slaves to science, and we don't have to be exactly scientifically correct to talk about a zman to do something. If we talk about Shkia Sachama, for example, that at sunset, the day ends. Well, when is sunset? One might say, well, I see the sun dipping under the horizon. That's sunset. Well, that's the perceived sunset, but that's not the reality of the sunset. The reality of the sunset is when half the ball of the sun is still visible above the horizon, the entire sun has already slipped below the horizon. Except that the phenomenon known as refraction, which light going through the atmosphere is bent. The same phenomenon which takes place if you take a round glass and you put water in it and you put a spoon in it, so the spoon seems to be bent. It's not bent, but it looks bent if you look at it, just has a little hook. And the reason for that is that the light is bent. So the eye is misconstruing the situation that it looks at. Now similarly, we look at the world and we see the sun. But astronomically, an astronomer knows that the sun has already disappeared below the horizon. But the halacha wants to give us a workable definition. And the workable definition is not for every one of us to be an astronomer and to know exactly and to calculate at what point in time the refraction is starting to bring the sun's ball above the horizon when it no longer existed. So the halacha is a very simple thing. Shkiyas Achama, boom, when the sun goes below the horizon, that's it. It's the way we perceive it. In many, many areas of the halacha, when it was not necessary to have an exact definition, an approximation served just as well in many things. Now, so the halacha relied upon this approximation as well, that the year was 365 and a quarter days. And the non-Jewish world also relied upon that approximation. But as the centuries went on, they realized that things were no longer functioning exactly the right way. If you want to, for example, let's say September 23rd was the day of the fall solstice. Now you'll start to examine it, and you're going to find out that for some odd reason, 1,000 years later, the solstice is now taking place in October. So one or two things happened. Either Sidrei Bereishis were changed, the Ribbono Shel Olam was running the world differently, or the calendar messed up someplace. One of those two. So they went back and they concluded, and little mistakes over long periods of time start to have a massive impact. Now the year is a little bit less, about 15 to 17 minutes less than 365 and a quarter days. So it's 5 hours and 43 minutes approximately. Now, so there's 15 minutes extra that we added to each year. We're running, we're counting 15 minutes extra. So 15 minutes extra which didn't get accounted for. For the year, we really ended 15 minutes, we added 15 minutes. So we started, so what the result of that is every 100 years, every 4 years, there's an extra hour flying around. Every 96 years is a whole extra day has been factored into the calendar. So we've pushed ahead by a day now, which doesn't exist, which we made up. Now, if we're merely concerned with running business, so what's the difference? You know, you wake up, you work from Monday to Friday, you go to sleep, you know, whatever you call next week. You know, it happens to me, it's merely a convenience that we call it by the particular month, so we know what month something we can plan for. But more than that, it wouldn't make a difference. But if the calendar was supposed to be in touch with the realities, now a year's time is supposed to be, there's certain effects of the shadow that we can demonstrate that the earth, in fact, the sun is exactly back in the same place that it was, so the entire cycle is finished. And all of a sudden we're looking up and we're checking. The Greeks had their way of calculating how long the year was. And all of a sudden we're going to find out that it's happening a day later, 2 days later, 3 days later. And over 1,100 years, it's going to be happening 11 days later. So we make run our experiment, and it's supposed to be that on January 1st, we're back to where we were before. And all of a sudden we see that at that point, which used to be January 1st, we're not getting there until January 12th. The solstice is not taking place on September 23rd anymore. It keeps moving up into October. Day it's on the march. Now, we had known the... So, this is well known in the secular world, that they changed from the Julian to the Gregorian. The change between the Julian and the Gregorian calendars was exactly to correct for this problem. So they realized by calculation that they had dumped another 11 days into the calendar that didn't exist. So, what typically was taking place on the 23rd of September was now starting to take place into October already. So what did they do? So they made a very simple fix. They just removed 11 days from the calendar. So in the next year, instead of it being January 12th, it was January 1st. They knocked off 11 days. They just set everything back, and we're going to go from here. And then they introduced the system of leap years, which are a pretty good approximation to try to account for all. It's very, very slightly off, but it'll hold for a good few thousand years until they'll have a problem with the system that we're using now. They knock out leap years every periodically to account for this. So we've introduced an extra day. So I think every year in the hundreds, we knock off the leap year. Right, so, but after 400 years, we have a number of hours that it's still different, because it's not exactly, first of all, there are 2 minutes every single year that were added, so that's about 3 hours in the course of the 100 years, plus the last 4 years of the cycle, which is again another hour. So we're dealing constantly that we're adding somewhere at least four hours or so every 100 years. So in 400 years, we added approximately 16, 17 hours. So in the 400th year, they don't make a leap year for that reason, to set the clock back one day. We knock off the leap year altogether. So it's approximately, now we're only, every 400 years, we're only going off by about, let's say, 8 hours approximately. So that's a system that could last for a good few thousand years until it's going to have much major discrepancies to it. This is what took place in the non-Jewish world. So it used to be, in the old calendar, first it started off, it was taking place at September 23rd. Then one fine day they woke up and it's taking place in the month of October. So they reset the calendar to put it back to October 23rd. But that took place in the non-Jewish world. But the same assumption which introduced that mistake into the non-Jewish calendar, we use that as an approximation in the halacha. Now from our standpoint, we're not hung up that it has to, it's not halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that on which day we have to start being mispalo p'kshut shomel. It's an approximation. And therefore the approximation is fine. Whether the approximation is a few days this way, a few days the other way, it doesn't make a difference. And consequently what happened is, so we're still working with a figure. Our figure has an error into it because it's only an approximation. But the halacha was only interested in an approximation. So therefore, we in fact have extra days. Now we've gone forward since the change from the Julian to the Gregorian calendar, hundreds of years since then. Every 100 years is another day's difference. So we moved even further away than 11 days. Now we're approximately 14 days. According to our calculation, it would be as if the full solstice was on October 7th this year. And it actually occurred somewhere about 14, 15 days earlier than that. So we're continuing on the march. We're still, you know, the gap is growing for us. But again, it's an approximation. So it's fine in our circumstances. But that's the reason that we would just calculate from the beginning of fall, so approximately November 23rd, right around Thanksgiving, we ought to begin with St. Tala every year. Now that would have been a wonderful way in America that was at the beginning of Thanksgiving, right? Everybody would remember when to start. You never have a problem. And it would be approximately Thanksgiving, because 60 days after the fall solstice would be November 23rd, November 22nd, in that area. So it would have been fine. But we, in fact, have an approximation of the solar year, and our approximation was all the way into October. So the day that the season was, the solstice was taking place. So we've proceeded, even though they have corrected for that problem, we have not corrected for that problem. We're not concerned with the fact that we have an approximation. So we're using a date which is in October now for the solstice, rather than the actuality of the date, which is in the month of September. So what we saw reflected in the non-Jewish world reflects the fact that they initially used the same approximation that we did. And over the course of time, the calendar was getting so out of whack that they realized they better do something about it. So that's the basic background why we, in fact, start as we do in the month of December instead of in the month of November as it should be. Now, I mentioned to you before that the reality is that it should be seasonally adjusted to local circumstances, but we don't actually observe that. So there are all types of halachas which come to play because of the fact that theoretically that position is correct. The Shulchan Aruch records the following, for example. Umiyu, in Eretz Achas Kula, that is an entire country, Hatzricha Motor, which needs rain, B'moisa Chama, the summertime. The farmers planted summer wheat, and they needed to rain, otherwise they're going to go out of business. And now what happened? So good. The halach was fixed, that we not mispalo in a seder, in terms of the Saint Talamot Lebrocha, other than the seder of Bobo, so we only recite that in the winter, from December until Pesach. But I live in the United States of America, and one fine day in July, I got up and I said, "Saint Talamot Lebrocha, we have to daven again." So the Shulchan Aruch writes, "In Torah Yochin B'Shol Motu B'Birkas Hashanah." Im writes if he wants, Chayzer of Mispalo B'Torahs Nedavim. He can make an additional tefillah on a voluntary basis below Shelo B'Birkas Hashanah, and the second time he won't, should not recite the Saint Talamot Lebrocha. And he concludes, there is no obligation to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. So what's the reason for this? That he does not have to be mispalo again. So the reason is because we take into account this view of the Rosh. The Rosh said that we should really be adjusted to local circumstances. In this United States of America, it's a good thing if it rains in July and August. The farmers jump for joy. So if I woke up and I was really to tumult And I said the same Talmud of Rocha on July 5th. So the Shulchan Aruch says, I'm not mechuyav to daven again. Not in this United States of America. Because rain is a holy thing at that time of the year. The Chabad Chaim raises a very, very interesting question. He says, why is it that I don't have to daven again? The reason is because we accept the view of the Rosh. And the Rambam wrote in the Perush HaMishnayos that we should follow local conditions. So, but if one reads the Tshuva of the Rosh, so the Rosh writes that in his view, what should they do in the Southern Hemisphere, for example? So according to the Rosh's view, Pesach, they should have the Chazan will get up and do Geshem. Sukkot is his town, strange place, but that's the way it'll be. Now how about Mashav Ruach Merda Geshem? When should you start? So we'll start. We'll start the same Talmud of Ruach and Zion here. Fine. But when are we going to start Mashav Ruach Merda Geshem? Shri Yishal Pesach. So the Rosh says that these two are. Those that eat the Rosh, the matzah for that one. Right, so we start on Pesach. So the Rosh says these two halachas are intertwined. From his view, it's not only the same talmud which should be recited, in the southern hemisphere in the summertime, but Mashav Ruach also has to be recited in that time of the year. These two halachas are tied to each other. So the Chofetz Chaim has a very insightful question. A guy got up and he was mispalo July 5th, and he came to Baruch Aleinu. We said the same talmud of the Ruach. Finished one Esrei, right? He said, hey, wait a second. And he said, so how can the Shulchan Aruch say I don't have to go back? What's the reason? Because we say, oh, follow the Rosh. The Rosh is really correct. And that if a whole country needs rain, as this United States does, we need rain. So I don't have to daven again. But according to the Rosh, what did I have to recite in the second Baruch Shmoneh Esrei? Mashav Ruach Merdeh Geshem. So typically, we ought to assume that he didn't also recite Mashav Ruach Merdeh Geshem, that he didn't do. So the Chofetz Chaim says, Mamonav Shachar should have to daven. If the view of the halachos like those that the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like, that we follow strictly the minhag of Bovel, and that determines the halacha for everybody living outside Eretz Yisrael, irrespective of local conditions, irrespective of Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, then you were not supposed to say the same talmud. And if I want to argue that the Rosh is correct, listen, the United States needs rain in July, and I really should be saying the same time. So at least, fortunately, one Shlomaz is diving the right way, and he did it the right way, and he said the same time on July 5th, and the farmers in Kansas are jumping for joy. But he didn't say Mashav Ruach. So how was he Yotze? According to all the days, he wasn't Yotze. How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin that he doesn't have to repeat its people? That's his question. And he suggests one of two answers to this problem. First, we'll start with the second answer. The second answer he suggests is that the Mechaber was Sephardi. So therefore, what did he say in the summer months? He said, Meir Atol. So the halacha is, if I recite Meir Atol in the winter time, I'm Yaitzi V'Diyagel. So he said, so all those that daven Nusach Sephardi have the same thing? But the truth is, those that follow the Minhag HaGron also say Meir Atol in the summer. So the halacha is, if Sukkot comes and Sukkot goes, and I am totally oblivious to Mashav Ruach Merdeh Geshem, but from Pesach till Sukkot, I always recite Merdeh Atol. So our assumption is, so what did I say after Sukkot if I forgot to say Mashav Ruach? I said Merdeh Atol, which I was used to saying until then. Or Merdeh Atol, I don't have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. That's enough to be fasting. So that's one answer that he gives. He's not so happy with that answer. He doesn't think that's over Mashmah and Shulchan Aruch. But that's one very simple, cute answer to the problem. But the Mechaber was davening in the Nusach of Eidot HaMizrach, and the real Sephardi Nusach, and therefore he said, Merdeh Atol. So that's the reason he doesn't have to go back. And he suggests a second shot. He says, the Prima Godin argues that the Shulchan Aruch, the Simon Kuf Yudalad, does not go into this whole discussion of the Rosh. Why is it in Simon Kuf Yud Zayin when we talk about the same Talmud of Rocha that we go into this whole story? And the Shulchan Aruch says here the following: Im Omer Merdeh Geshem Im Oysa Chama Machzir an Oysa. The Chayzal the Rosh HaBrocha. The Siyam HaBrocha, Chayzal the Rosh HaTvila. So if I said Mashal HaRuach in the summer, I have to go back. And then how he continues. Vafilu b'moka shetzrichim geshem im Oysa Chama. Even if I live in a place where rain is necessary in the summertime, im Hiske geshem b'mokam tal, and instead of saying Merod HaTal, or Mechaber says, I said Mashal HaRuach Merod HaGeshem, is Machzir an Oysa. I have to repeat the Shmon Esra. So what is he referring to here? In this case, when he says, even if it's a place, b'mokum shetzrichim geshem b'mois acham. So the Chavetz Chaim says, bon pshat, the Chayogim's interpretation, and others, b'afilum hoya kol oiso amedino, mispalim mesanon alakshom. Even if this entire country needed rain, and they were having kindness kshomim now, they were fasting. So a whole country needs rain, and I made a mistake, and I said, mashal ruach, I have to daven again. So he cites the Prima Godin, who writes the following, she calls it Afilu Eretz Kuluk Ashkenaz. Let's say you have a whole country such as Germany that needs rain at this time of the year. Vididana, Poland, Afilu Hachi, Greyo Mishayla, I am Shom Taimu. He says it's worse than Shayla. So according to the Prima Godin's interpretation and the Chayodim, according to the interpretation of both the Nehemiah and the Shulchan Aruch, they state that the Mechaber differentiated. It's true the Rosh did not differentiate between Mashal HaRuach and B'Sein Tal, but they say the Shulchan Aruch differentiated. And the Shulchan Aruch said, if I said Mashal HaRuach at the wrong time of the year, forget about it. And I'll tell you, I can tell you a very simple reason why it's true. Whereas if I said B'Sein Tal Umotu L'Vrocha, if I said B'Sein Tal Umotu L'Vrocha, so then I don't have to daven again. What is a haidah and one's a bakash? And when an entire country needs it, but he says yes, but the Prima Godin wants to learn pshat in the Shulchan Aruch that if an entire country needs rain, and I made a mistake and said Mashal HaRuach, even the Shulchan Aruch means I have to daven again. Forget about it. Now it could principally be, it could be that the reason for this is that the same tal is a bakosha. On the Eskil Bereshalaylam, we don't have rain. We need rain, give us rain. But on the other hand, it doesn't necessarily mean that this is the season typically that we should be saying Mashal HaRuach Merod HaGeshem. This is not the season typically that the rain is given. But there is a winter part of the year, which is perhaps in many places in the world the principal rainy season. Beyond that, we need rain at some other times in the year too. I mean, even in our country, most of the water comes in the winter time, not in the summer. Like, all the water that we have in the summer comes from the snow. So most of the rain is in the winter. So if I get up and give the Rebbeinu Shalom Shevach for Hador, so when do I say Mashal HaRuach Merod HaGeshem? The precipitation principally takes place in the winter part of the year. So to get up in the summertime and say Hador, the Rebbeinu Shalom is Mashal HaRuach Merod HaGeshem, I may need rain. But that's not an apt description of what's going on in the world around me, that the Rebbeinu Shalom is that the rain is flying and the precipitation is pouring down. It's not what happens. So the Prima Godin paskins that even a country which needs rain, but Mashal HaRuach, you're not allowed to say it. If you said it, you're not even going to be able to. So from the Prima Godin standpoint, that would be another terrorist in the Shulchan Aruch. That the Shulchan Aruch was Machriya, you always have to say Mashal HaRuach Merod HaGeshem. Even if you would get up and be mispala for rain, but you cannot say Mashal HaRuach Merod HaGeshem, even with the Evid in the summer months, no matter what, even if the entire country needs rain. And that's Ma'akim with the Evid. So this would be also a riot, perhaps, to the Prima Godin's view. So we see that this notion, Rosh, has a powerful impact on the Halach. Now, is another Shiloh. Yes. Yeah, no, he's talking when an entire country needs rain. Now, if it's a time of the year that rain is necessary in this country, in Akhanami, you wouldn't have to repeat it. In the United States, it's probably true most of the year, because rain is beneficial in most times of the year in this country, of course. But No, you're not. It's about kosher. Shevach, shevach has to be right. Mocha has to be time appropriate. Yeah. One perplexing shaila which the Chachmei Adoros dealt with is what to do with travelers. We have Eretz Yisrael, we have Chutz Lo'aretz, so we managed somehow we established Min HaChutz Lo'aretz. Baruch Hashem for that. Now along comes some fellow, and he decides, you know, I'd like to visit Eretz Yisrael. So he goes to Eretz Yisrael, 2 weeks after Sukkot, and he spends Cheshvan and Kislev in Eretz Yisrael. So in his home country, United States, the same bracha. Eretz Yisrael, we started in the same town. So what's he supposed to do? Or we can ask the same question in reverse. Someone from Eretz Yisrael comes in, it's after Zayin Cheshvan, and he started saying the same Talmud bracha in Eretz Yisrael. And here he comes, and in Chutz Lo'aretz they're saying the same bracha. So what's a person supposed to do? Now, classically, this was a little bit less, it was a little bit easier to argue the size of this than it is in contemporary times. Why? Because, Baruch Hashem, travel is very, very easy today. I wake up today in the United States, I'm in the mood, I run to the airport, I'm still making on the flight tonight, right, 10 to 12, and tomorrow I'll wake up in Eretz Yisrael. Stay there for a week, and that's it. Listen, I have things to do in Chutz Lo'aretz, I come back. In times in history when it took you a few months to get to Eretz Yisrael, you didn't stay for a week. By the time you got there, you stayed. And I often point out, in the Dor of the Beis Yosef, or the Dor after the Beis Yosef, there was a case which was discussed. You can find Chuvas in all the Gedolei Achronim of that Dor. They all talk about this case. There was a man whose brother lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he died without ever having had children. So his wife was a Yavam. Where did the Yavam live? The Yavam lived in Spain. Now 3 years went by, and he still hadn't shown up in Eretz Yisrael to do chalitza, and she couldn't get remarried. So this was a whole hue and cry what to do about this. So she was in no position to be able to travel to Spain, because 500 years ago, travel for women was not very, very safe. So she couldn't travel to Spain. And he said, how in the world can I go from Spain to Eretz Yisrael? It's going to take me 3 months to get there. So I'll give chalitza and I'll turn around and I'll go home. But meanwhile, I'm going to have to close my business down for 6 months to support my family. What can I do? So this was the dimensions of the problem. So he didn't go to Eretz Yisrael for 3 days. By the time he got there, for 3 months, he stayed for a while. So the question that has arisen, well, normally if a person comes from a place that has a certain minhag, he intends to go back to there, so it's principal minhag, it's supposed to be like the place it's come from. If there's a chumra in the new place, so we adopt the chumra, but not the kulas in the new place. If I move from place to place permanently, I leave America and I go make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm intending to live there for the rest of my life, so I adopt the minhag of Eretz Yisrael. If I lived in Eretz Yisrael and I came to the United States and I intend to stay here, I adopt the minhag of Chutz Lo'aretz. But if I intend to go back to the place that I came from, so principally I follow them and hold them of the country that I came from. And if they have certain chumras in the new place, while I'm there, I have to keep their chumras. So should we apply that type of model to a person that traveled? Well, let him follow the minhag of his place. In one sense, that would be sensible, but in another very practical sense, it doesn't make any sense at all. And why is that? What are we mispallel for the rain for? Two reasons, principally. We need water to drink, and we want the crops to grow. So this guy left Chutz Lo'aretz, and now he's living in Eretz Yisrael. So where's he going to eat this year? Where's he going to drink? It's going to help him that there's water in New York City. There's water in Vilna. He needs water in Eretz Yisrael. He needs fruits and grains and vegetables in Eretz Yisrael. It's not going to help him. In Vilna, they could be sitting and living high off the fat of the land. What's it going to help him if there's no rain in Eretz Yisrael? So some argue, who cares where he's from? Right now, he's on the same ship as everybody else that lives in this particular place. So therefore, he ought to be mispallel together with those people. Whatever they do, he's dependent on their agriculture and their water. So he should be mispallel together with them. That was one school of thought. Others wanted to say one should follow him to the place that he came from, etc. And the reality is, we cannot say that there was any one particular view which prevailed. And probably the reason that there wasn't a particular view that prevailed was a very simple fact. And that is, the amount of travelers was never such an overwhelming amount that this was one of the great issues of the day, that a consensus of the halacha emerged. Well, a few yechidim, a few private people had a problem, whatever they asked thereof, and they did, but that's the way it remained. But the minhag, all of Klal Yisrael, that's something, any thousands of people that are involved, and tens of thousands of people, then it becomes a public issue, there's a haram, communities have a minhag, etc. It's in the private life of a person, it's hard to establish a minhag in this regard. So, a fixed minhag there wasn't, the Chofetz Chaim in fact struggled with this halacha, even the Sforum which discussed it, was such early achrayim, he didn't even have the Sforum available to him. I once went to the library in Hechel Shlomo to make copies, in fact, before Xerox, I had a copy of them by hand in those days. Copies of those achrayim that discussed the Shire. Ramesh Zatzal, in his very unique approach to the halacha, found the resolution of this problem in this rosh that we've been discussing tonight. And the Shulchan Aruch has a principle that minhagim are only applicable to common cases. And those are the loshchiach, unusual cases, there's no such thing as a minute government for unusual cases. So Ramayisha said it's quite obvious. Do we have a minute of what we should do in this case? We obviously don't have a minute. Some people say this way, some people say that. We have no established practice that all of Klal Yisrael is involved in when a person goes during this time of the year from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz and Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. So he said, consequently, what should we do? This is very simple. It should really be dependent, as the Rosh said, on the local geography. Simple. Now, a person that came from the United States, for example, in Eretz Yisrael, they need rain at this time of the year. When he comes from the United States, they also really need rain. So, Elamai, the minig is not to follow the sheet of the Rosh. The Rosh says that's true. But for this guy, there's no minig for this guy to travel. It's a Mamonavshach. If we're to follow Eretz Yisrael, he should say in Zayin Cheshbon. If we're to follow what the sheet of the Rosh, what they need in Chutz Laaretz, he should also be saying it from that standpoint. So certainly, he can start from Zayin Cheshbon. Now, the guy that came from Eretz Yisrael in this time would also be the same thing. In Eretz Yisrael, if he follows his home country, they certainly need it. If he comes to the United States, so at this time of the year, after Zion Cheshvan, we should also follow the model of Eretz Yisrael, because we need rain at this time of the year. So Rav Moshe said, for these cases, the Rosh is a very good resolution, to rely on the fact that the Rosh, that we should follow his view. So the same way that the Shulchan Aruch relied upon the Rosh, when an entire land needs rain. That b'di'evit, if I woke up on July 5th in the United States of America and I said the same Talmud to the Baruch, the Shulchan Aruch says I don't have to daven again, because when the dust settles, if I did it already, you can't say that I was wrong. The Rosh's view is too compelling. So Rav Moshe said the same is true for those that arrive in a limbo situation, that they have no established minhag because they're in transit. So the halacha has not established a minhag for this case. So he said they should also be samech on the Rosh. And in reciting these times, for instance, the fashion described above the Baruch of the same Talmud of the. So this Rosh, which is really, the Shulchan Aruch did not pass the light, but it's so compelling that it keeps popping through the cracks and asserting itself to resolve all types of issues in this area of the Halacha of the same Talmud of the Baruch. Any questions, please? There were those that said that one should, I believe the Stipler, the Chatzavik of Rocha, said that those that between Zion Cheshvan and whatever day in December, December 4th, 5th, whatever it'll come in this particular year, that a person should recite in Shema Kaleinu, his formulation was the same Talmud Motto, the Rocha of Bnei Eretz Yisrael. So am I Bnei Eretz Yisrael or not? Well, listen, that's all the Pilpul is discussing, if I'm Ben Eretz Yisrael, if I'm living there or not, because I need the agriculture. That was his formulation. But it's a resolution of the problem, but Rav Moshe is more elegant. Rav Moshe was willing to dark of a kodesh to be machria. One wouldn't have, certainly would not have to daven again. The Rashidus and Achrayim, that clearly hold one is Yoda, where one depends, since one is intending, one is a Ben Chutz Lawrence, and intending to go back to Chutz Lawrence, that you can rely on the same bracha there as well.
Based on what the
bracha
said,
correct. In other words, we use the same way that the secular calendar used it. We use the halacha, used the same approximation. When they changed the calendar, they just decided to reset the clock,
the date.
We didn't reset, because we're in effect saying that the halacha is using an approximation. And that's the approximation. There's nothing that says what particular day. Yom Kippur is a particular day. And on Yom Kippur, we have to do tshuva, and we have to bring korbanos, etc. So you can't mess up the calendar for Yom Kippur. You want to tell me when I'm supposed to be mispalo? That's an approximation in this regard. The same is true to other halachos as well, which is really dependent on this. Because even the idea of the brichas hachama, when it's taking place, is also built in an approximation. Because it was meant to follow the seasons, because the rain was necessary seasonally. The crops grow seasonally, not in the Hebrew calendar. Pesach has to come over. We make adjustments for that. We make a leap year at the end of the winter for the adjustment. But we don't have a leap year at the beginning of the winter. That are very broad differences. We have Rosh Hashanah, for example, as early as September 5th, 6th, or 7th. So when is Zayin Cheshvan? It's the beginning of October. For example, now if we're not going to use, so how are we going, on what date in the Hebrew calendar are we going to pick? So now we're beginning in December. I mean, there's a wide range, and the Hebrew calendar moves by an entire month relative to the seasons. So since this is an agricultural fact of life, it should really be seasonally adjusted. So we went through a little bit of the background of the same Talmud of the Rafa. If one forgets, if one is unsure in this month if one recited the same Talmud of the Rafa or not, so the halacha is that one has the opportunity to make up for it in the Bracha Shema Kaleinu. And even if one said Bracha Ata Hashem Shomea Tefila and didn't start with say, one could still throw it in at that point in the same Talmud of the Rafa. And if I passed, I started with say, then I have to go back to Baruch Halim. If I finished Shmon Esrei, which either means I took the steps back, or I said before that, the final Yiyu L'Rotzen, the end of Shmon Esrei, then I have to go all the way back to go back to the beginning of Shmon Esrei, and start again. And this prevails, as in most changes, for a month after the switch to the same Talmud, from the same Baruch to the same Talmud to the Baruch. A month subsequent to the time of the change, so when we'll get to the month of January, about a week into the month of January, then we won't have to go back if we're in doubt if we recite it. What? This will not be a shir next week, Rabbi, so I have to be away at a simcha. So, Be'ez Hashem, the week after will be a shir, Be'ez Hashem.